Scripture, and I'm not going to apologize for it. The best part of this sermon will be reading the Scripture. I promise you that, because it's the living Word of God. It's the best. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here, and I pray that you'll bring blessing to everyone. We're just looking to you today, and in this message, that you'll encourage and bless your people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I'd like to drop some ideas into your mind that not only will help you right now, but maybe in this next week, you'll get a chance to think about it. Yesterday, Debbie and I, and Sharon said she watched it too, we watched a show about Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, going to the Holy Land. And he went out on Lake Genezareth or the Sea of Galilee, and he said, it's no better than Tahoe. I'd rather go on Lake Tahoe than this. Now, he was being cynical, but as far as I know, Jesus didn't go on Lake Tahoe. But he did go out on the Sea of Galilee. He walked on it, and he went out in it, and he even preached beside it. So, in chapter 5 of Luke, and verse 1, says, so it was, the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. Can you imagine that? Hearing the word of God from the creator of heaven and earth. That he stood by the lake of Genezareth and he saw two boats standing by the lake. The commentary says that there could have been up to 4,000 boats. It was not just two boats only, but these were the two boats that Jesus was close to, and one of them was going to be very important to him. But the fishermen had, and the population of this area was around 250,000 people, so there was a need for fish. It was a good business to be a fisherman at that time, a good business. Then he, excuse me, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. Can you visualize that? Just getting out into a boat, just going out a little ways, and here's Jesus speaking to the people. They're hearing things that came directly from the heart of God, things that would mean life to them and strength for their lives. So verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And we can see this. We can see Jesus saying, okay, I'm through. He did the exact altar call that was needed. How many knows what an altar call is? That's when you call people to an altar. You figure that out. We've been in church a long time. We know what that's all about. Years ago, I used to do altar calls when I was just starting out, and my pastor's wife bragged on me. She said, I think you do better than my husband. Now, I was, 20 years old or something like that. I thought that's the greatest thing in the world because he was an outstanding preacher. But everybody does things a little bit different. We went to a church one time, and they didn't do the altar calls. It was just, you know, we were through with church, and we prayed and went home. And that's fine, whatever. But most of us understand when Jesus ended this sermon, he ended it exactly the way it should be. And then he said to Peter, just kick on out here a little bit. We're going to get you some fish. Aren't you glad that Jesus is mindful of our situation? I believe he knew Peter didn't catch any fish, and he wanted to help him, and then he wanted to help him beyond that. But Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Maybe a little bit of, Master, it's not time to catch fish now. We worked when we were supposed to be working at night. That's the best time to catch fish. And now it's not the best time to catch fish. But Peter was smart enough to say, nevertheless, at your word. I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. A great number of fish. If you're a fisherman, what do you want to do? Catch a lot of fish. I've never been a fisherman in my life, but I want to drop a name to you today. The greatest fisherman that I've ever known. Do you remember the name, Debbie? Floyd Clearman. He was our pastor, Melvin Clearman's brother. And they said he went fishing every day, even holidays, and he always caught fish. I can tell you my batting average for fishing is not good, and I don't care that much about fishing, but I do like to eat fish, and so I go buy fish when I'm wanting to eat that. But there are people who are good, and this was the business for Peter. This was what their livelihood was, and I believe Peter liked fishing. I think he really enjoyed what he did. So when they had caught a great number of fish, their nets were breaking, and they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so they began to sink. And when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." This is kind of an unusual thing to say when you've just been so blessed. If someone blesses me, I want to say, "Hang around with me forever because I need you every day." But Peter was saying, "Lord, I'm a rascal. I don't even deserve anyone as holy as you being around me." And then for he and all who were with him, remember, he had friends that were in the business. They may have even been partners. And that would have been Peter and his brother Andrew and John and James and John, however you want to look at it. And all that were with them, they were astonished at the fish, the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, just what I just said. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid." In other words, don't worry about you being the past sinful man, because I'm going to fix it for you. Don't worry about that. Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to catch men. And when they had brought their boats to land, listen at how quickly this happened. They forsook all and followed him. Isn't that amazing? That's a great story. Bill Johnson's point that I want to make sure that I cover, because I thought it was awesome. The way Jesus got to Peter was with the fish. The title of my sermon that I forgot to tell you was "Have Some Fish." Have some fish. Because Jesus had been preaching along the shore nearby where Peter and his group were washing their nets, and they must have heard some of that. And when Jesus asked Peter to get in the boat and let's push away a little bit and let me preach, he heard the word of God there. Peter didn't get down on his knees before the Lord because of the teaching that he was doing. But what really captured his heart were the fish, the great blessing of the fish. Now, Bill Johnson ministered another part of this, and it was Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus was a wee little man? So he was short, but then he went up the sycamore tree to see Jesus. And Jesus said, "Come on," there's a song about this, that's why it keeps going in my mind. "Come on down, I'm going to your house." And when Jesus arrived at Zacchaeus' house, that's all it took. Zacchaeus got down and said, "Lord, I am so bad, and I'm going to repent before you. And if I've taken advantage of anybody, I'm going to pay them back." In other words, what made him repent was Jesus coming to his house. So Jesus gives fish to Peter. He goes and visits Zacchaeus. And whatever the need is, whatever the way that the Lord knows how to get a hold of our hearts. Brother Wood used to preach about fishing because he was a good fisherman. He was my pastor as I was growing up, Brother Mark Wood. And he preached about how to catch different fish. You got to use the right bait. Jesus knew what it took. And rather than keeping Peter blessed with fish, he said, Peter, I'm going to change your whole life. I'm going to give you a brand new start. You're going to have a brand new career. And oh, what an amazing, wonderful career it was. We understand that the Sea of Galilee was an awesome resource for fish and a blessing to the community. When I start looking back at things and I see that where God blessed America with industry and farming, oh, that's so much a blessing because God is providing for the needs of his people. And we've had terrible times like the Great Depression, but we've come back. And we're living in a fairly good time now. A lot of that's based on what's been discovered in this valley. And that's the computer things that, and I say computer things, being ignorant of a lot of what they do. But I do know this, there's no office today that has a pencil and a pad of paper. They're all sitting in front of a screen. And that's the way life is. Not only that, but when you get out of the church this morning, you're going to turn your phone back on and you're going to be in business. You're going to go on Facebook, you're going to make phone calls, and you're going to text. What a world we live in. Thank God for the blessing of these things that we enjoy. Peter said, Lord, I'm too big of a rascal. And Jesus said, you're not that big of a rascal. I'm going to take care of it for you. And he blessed Peter and he blessed Zacchaeus. Now, Peter had a great career in being a disciple. But I think Peter's like a lot of us. How many kind of see characteristics of Peter and you together, right? When you see a movie with Peter, he's the big, tall guy. And he's a guy that puts his foot in his mouth about every other time. Oh, Peter come up with some good things. When Jesus said, who do men say that I am? He said, oh, they say that you're, you know, Elijah. They say that you're John the Baptist or Isaiah. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, this hasn't come to you through flesh and blood or through normal things. This has not come through education. It's come through the revelation of my Father and the Spirit of God. And you know this to be a truth. And you're Peter. You're Petros. You're a little rock. You're a little stone. Some churches say that we're built on Peter. We're not built on Peter. We're built on Jesus Christ. We're built on Petra, the great big rock that will not be moved. The church is built on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. But Peter had such an amazing time. And it wasn't too much longer to where Jesus was telling about having to die and suffer. And Peter said, don't worry about that. You're not going to have to face that. And what did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. See, it didn't last long before Peter was acting just like a lot of people do today. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And then he had to rebuke him. Peter walked on the water. They saw Jesus out walking on the water. And they said, and Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. Peter said, if it's you, then bid me come. Jesus said, come on. Peter got out of the boat and he took a few steps. Now, Galen Allen preached a sermon on this one time and I loved what he said. He said that there are so many preachers that have Peter, flailing around and over his head. And the Bible said that Peter began to sink. And he called out on Jesus. I can just see Jesus or Peter getting right about here. Okay, here, not here. And Jesus grabbed a hold of him and pulled him up. I don't believe that he went that far before the Lord took care of him. And then Jesus said, oh, you're a little faith. And of course, that's the case. Even though you walk, How many of us have walked on the water? I haven't. And I'm not necessarily planning on it, but Peter did. Peter was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I understand that must have been a glorious time. We were talking the other day about being slain in the Spirit. How many's been slain in the Spirit? A lot. What I can tell you about being slain in the Spirit from my personal experience is that there is a peace that is unbelievable. It's like your mind is just completely in a heavenly place. Why don't we get slain in the Spirit more? It's a yielding thing and an availability thing. So if you're ever in a prayer line that you could be prayed for and slain in the Spirit, get there, go there, and yield. I remember telling someone, that guy pushed me down, and the person said, he didn't touch you. You came within about 3 feet, and boom, you hit the floor. And no brother catcher, I just hit the floor. It's awesome when the Spirit of God overwhelms us and when we submit ourselves to that. Amen? Praise God. Peter was in that kind of a place with the Lord. Great revelation. There's Moses and Elijah, and Peter said, you know what? We need to build 3 tabernacles right here. Oh, come on. Let's get an offering going, and we'll build 3 tabernacles. Peter's exuberance, and he was exuberant, was met by the voice of God. And the voice of God said, this is my beloved servant, talking about Jesus, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And I don't know if Peter heard another thing after that, but he heard that. I know that because he testified of it. So Peter jumped to the conclusion of, let's just keep it this way forever. And I don't blame him. When you're in a spiritual place, you want to keep it that way forever. It's a blessing. It's away from all of the toil and the trouble of life. A blessing that God offers us through his Holy Spirit. Peter cuts off the servant's ear in the garden when they're trying to catch Jesus. I like the fact that Peter was standing up for the Lord. He kind of went about it the wrong way. How many's ever gone about something the wrong way? Oh, yeah. Come on. Yeah, we've gone about things the wrong way, but when Peter cut off the ear, somebody said he was aiming for the guy's head and he didn't get it. I don't know what he was aiming for, but he cut off the ear. It didn't matter. Jesus was going to fix it back anyway. If he'd have cut off his head, Jesus would have fixed it, keep Peter out of trouble. Peter said to Jesus, I will never forsake you. Jesus said, you'll forsake me 3 times. Before the rooster crows, I think twice or a number of times. And he did deny Christ. And then after a revelation of Jesus to the disciples, Peter said, I go fishing. How many remember that? I go a fishing. It's kind of like, I think I'm tired of this discipleship and being a catcher of men. I think I'm going to go back to what I know best. And guess what? Same sea. He goes out there and he's fishing away. He's fishing away. And then Jesus appears on the shore and he says, you got any fish? They said, no, we haven't caught anything. Jesus said, cast your net on the other side. Cast your net on the other side. I don't know how wide that boat was, but it wasn't as big as some of these cruise ships, and it wouldn't matter if it was. It's obeying what Jesus said that made the difference. And the Bible says that when they cast over that they had so many fish. But you know what the Bible says? It said the net did not break. They had 153 of the biggest fish that can be caught. And the net did not break. And they brought him in, and Peter jumped in the water and ahead of everybody else. And when they brought him in, Jesus said, bring some of your fish. And he already had bread and fish on the fire. I'm going to ask the question, why did you need the other fish? You already had the bread and the fish. That's interesting to me. Why did you need? But what it got Peter to do him was bringing that net in and pulling it in with all of his might. And then Jesus took some time with Peter. Peter said, I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I used to do. And Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you. And there's some usage of words. Brotherly love. Do you love me? Do you agape? That's a God kind of love. And Peter said, I love you. The Philadelphia type love, the brotherly love. I love you. And Jesus said, I want you to feed my lambs. Then he asked him again, I want you to feed my sheep. And he asked him again, and Peter finally relented and said, I love you, the God kind of love. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. On the day of Pentecost, Peter was the main speaker. I like these conferences, and they get different ones, and they have great preachers. Can you imagine having three or four of the world's most noted preachers, and you have to make one of them the main speaker? That would be tough. But Peter was the only speaker on the day of Pentecost. And he said, this is what was prophesied by Joel the prophet. And he said, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be prophesying. You're going to have dreams and visions, and what a wonderful thing this is. This is the beginning of the church. Peter went from the kind of guy that was up and down and would stick his foot in his mouth and jump into situations, and he went to a place to where he was pretty solid in preaching the gospel. Peter was the first one to preach to the Gentiles. It became Paul's mission all over the world, and Paul wrote much more of the scripture than Peter did, but Peter was first to take the message to Cornelius and the Italian band. Wasn't a rock and roll band, it was a bunch of soldiers. But they were ones that were filled with the Holy Spirit and spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There was a time where Peter was called before the Sanhedrin. And the elders were saying, these guys are raising some trouble, they're doing healing, and we gotta squash them. We've gotta take control, or else it's gonna get out of hand. And they got Peter and John, and they said, you guys are going to have to take it easy. Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all. Pay attention. I'm going to give you an explanation. The explanation is, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Peter, you're talking to the guys that can hurt you bad. Peter said, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation by any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. Peter didn't back up, didn't stumble, didn't put his foot in his mouth. He preached truth, even to a group that could have hurt him. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct and received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We're saved by his blood. And the word of God came through the Holy Spirit anointing, and there's no many varied translation, it is the word of God. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, 16. For we did not follow, did not follow cunningly devised fables. This is one of my favorite scriptures of Peter's writings. When we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What is he saying? He's saying, I remember back a day where we were on a mountain. And I remember Jesus and Moses and Elijah. But oh, I remember, he said, he received from God the Father honor and glory, which when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son. You could never take that away from Peter. You could never take that experience. Paul didn't have that particular one, but Peter did. And James and John. Oh, I was there. I heard the voice of God. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. In other words, we know what Isaiah, Jeremiah, David, Moses was talking about when they talked about Christ. We know, and this word is of no private interpretation. Watch out for someone that tries to interpret the Bible different than what it says. It's a problem. But prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing how Peter's life was? And it all started with some fish. Brother Connor told this story two or three weeks ago, but I'm going to tell it again because Bill Johnson did the sermon, and then he told a story about a guy that was really bummed out because he lost his pocket knife. And the Lord spoke to him. I think he was laying in bed. The Lord spoke to him and said, raise your hand. He raised his hand, and God put the pocket knife that he had lost in his hand. I've never had anything quite that amazing happen to me, but I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. How many miss some things that you've lost? Now, you don't want to talk about a car. Maybe in the driveway. But it doesn't matter. You don't want to be in bed and raise your hand and get a fish. But there are things that we've lost that the Lord can replace. Things. The people that we've lost, we got to go see them. But things the Lord can replace. I want us to come and pray together as a church. We may have some questions about what's going to happen next. And we don't altogether know what's going to happen next, but this we know is we belong to Christ. And if there's something that you need, Jesus is going to help you with it. If he could give Peter two or three boatloads of fish, he can give us whatever we need. And if you need a miracle today, I want us to ask, because I believe strongly that it's so important for you to be the one that asks. Not just depend on someone to pray it in for you. Your relationship is with Jesus. Amen? I'm not opposed to praying for people because the Bible tells us to. But boy, I like the story of that guy laying in bed and getting that pocket knife. I like that. Why? Because the Lord's restoring. The Lord's giving back. Pocket knife to a lot of people don't mean that much. I've lost dozens of pocket knives and tools. I couldn't tell you the number of tools. But I lost a hammer that I really liked, but I couldn't find it. I worked and couldn't find it after the job. But the Lord can restore. The Lord can strengthen. Would you stand? As Debbie plays, let's come together and pray. Bind us together. Whatever you want to play is fine. Praise the Lord. Well, let's come around you guys. Just stay right there. Come on around, y'all. We appreciate Brother Henry and Sister Watson, and we'll just make it easy on you. How's that? Let's join hands and let's pray a prayer of, Lord, strengthen and provide. Amen. Lord Jesus, we honor you today and we pray you'll bless Calvary Temple. We're thankful for the history we have and we're thankful for the future that you've got in store for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll touch every individual. You see things that we've lost that are hurt to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'll restore those things. Lord, that the memory of people that we've lost, I pray that you'll keep that ever alive and that you'll help us to see them again, to meet in glory. But I pray, Lord, right now that you'll touch every heart and bring comfort and peace and power. Direct us as we pray. Lord, answer our prayers. Lord, you know what we need. Maybe it's not fish, maybe it's something else, but you're able, oh God. As you've called the fish, you can call other things. But bring blessing and strength and speak to our hearts your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit. Lead us and guide us. Let us not feel like we're alone, but Lord, let us know that we stand with each other. We stand as a church, as a group, but Lord, you stand with us. And speak to our hearts and bring encouragement and blessing. I praise you, Jesus. Let's give him glory. Let's give him glory. Holy God, we honor you. Holy God, we honor you. We magnify your name. Bless Jesus, bless your people. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Holy God, holy God, holy God, holy God. Glory, Allah, Dios, Iri Aramakanda, Iri Aramasanda, Lerididiakata. Glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, holy, holy Jesus, holy, holy Jesus, holy. Glory, glory, glory. You know, I was talking about being slain in the spirit. I'm an old guy, so I forget things. How many remember the expression lost in the spirit? You don't even have to fall down. You could just be worshiping the Lord and in a sense be raptured into his presence, right? And blessed and strengthened. The Holy Ghost has got a lot of different things that he can bless us with. And I don't know about you, but I want them all. Everything. The gifts of the Spirit. All the blessings that the Lord can bring to us. Amen. It's good to see you. Good to see you, Teresa. God bless you, Brother Horton. Good to see you. Bless you. God bless you. We're through. We get to go home now. Oh, Burger Pit. I'm sorry.